Good morning and Boker Tov. Welcome back to Living with Emuna on a morning that Klal Yisrael need a lot of Emuna. Not an easy night, last night. Maybe we'll talk more about, maybe we won't. But we all need to lean into our Emuna on nights like last night, on mornings like this morning. As always, we begin with an attitude of gratitude. Grateful to Hashem for every blessing in our life. And grateful to those who make it happen. So a big thank you to Dr. Zavi and Bella Morgan, who sponsored our series in memory of Rabbi Dr. Brian Galbin, in memory of Bella's mother, Dr. Ellen Chanzer, for Shmira for our holy IDF soldiers. Generously sponsored as well, in memory of the 30 fallen soldiers and alumni of Bnei David, Mechina, and Yeshiva and Eli. This week highlighting Amishar Ben David, Hashem Yikom Damo, 43, reserve major in the Commando Brigade. He fell in combat in Gaza, was a married father of five, lived in Eli, a man of kindness. He had donated a kidney to a stranger. He was a high school educator. He was a volunteer, Magen David Adom. He had studied at Bnei David and Eli. These were gems of people, angels, heroes that were lost. We continue to honor their memory and we're grateful to our sponsor who each week is highlighting another one to allow us to learn in their memory. This morning's shiur is sponsored by Sheva Myers for the Refuah Shleima of Dvorah Leah Bas Bela in memory of Judy Grunbaum, Aleha Shalom on her 30th Yahrzeit, the grandmother of Rabbi Ari and Rachi Mirzov and Rina and Shlomi Berkowitz. Neshama should have an aliyah. Neshama should have an aliyah. Okay, a few emails, a few miscellaneous, and back to our text. We're so excited. A super generous, incredible member of our community donated 70 copies of what we're learning, Shaarei Tefillah. So take one. They're here for you. If you're here regularly, if you're just a visitor passing through, it's your lucky day. You get to go home with a souvenir. A takeaway from Boca Raton Synagogue. So take one. We're not going to make copies. Bring it back. This is what we're learning from. If you don't live here, in case last night didn't give you another reason to move here, but getting a free copy of a Sefer is, I say that not lightly, God forbid, not to make light of what people are or may, God forbid, go through. But you come, take your copy. Dear Rabbi Goldberg, Emuna moment of the day. We're buying our first home in Israel and this morning had an appointment in Yerushalayim to sign on our mortgage. Well, my son woke up not feeling great, so getting out to school took longer, leading us to leave later and not leaving me a chance to daven. Because of this, I had my husband drive so I could daven on the way. This led him to taking the back road out of where we live, which always has traffic. As I watched the Waze time creep up, I quietly thanked Hashem that since I was mid-daven, I didn't say anything passively negative about the route. That's the first thank you, Hashem. In other words, instead of getting into a fight, being critical, why'd you go this way or that way, even with the way he's creeping up. Traffic eventually flowed, but we were now running 10 minutes late. About 10 minutes before our ETA, a car started beeping us in quick succession on the driver's side. We didn't know what they wanted to tell us. A few minutes later, they were on our other side beeping again. I rolled down my window and the driver said, "Your car exhaust is full of smoke." He made this face that said, "You better slow down and stop." By then, we were 7 minutes away and we didn't see anything else weird in the car, so we kept going. The other car hovered near us for a few good minutes of the drive, making a new face. Like, why aren't you pulling over? I'm going to guess it went with like a... With 3 minutes left to the bank, we decided we'll check the car when we arrive. Well, we arrived safely and saw, hey, no smoke. It took us until after our appointment to figure out our car was in fact fine. It was even serviced 2 weeks ago. In hindsight, the details of the friendly man and his friend was likely a trap for us to stop the car. It was then I realized that Hashem in fact protected us. If we had not been running late, we probably would have stopped. But thanks to the earlier chain of events, sick kids, late start, we in fact did not stop, which saved us from something for sure. It was an easy detail to be missed, but living in an odd post-war movement in Israel, we have no idea what fate waited for us if we stopped. Grateful to see Yad Hashem in that moment. So again, you live life, you can complain or be negative or frustrated, or you can see the hand of Hashem and the hug of Hashem and understand why things happen the way they happen, and this is the argument from her of why. Dear Rabbi Goldberg, I have lots of akaras hatov, lots of gratitude for the many hours and kilometers you filled my car with chizik and Torah as I drive around Israel doing home visits as a social worker. I work in rehab program. Don't take a copy, take a copy of the book. I work in a rehab program for victims of domestic violence, and your podcast gave me a lot of perspective, the chizik they lend Israel. Last week I heard a vort from Rabbi Joey Haber on Stories to Inspire. It was so good I called up all my family members individually to share. One of the six questions will be asked in Shemayim. One of the six questions we get asked when we get up to heaven is, after 120, Tzipisali Yeshua, which typically is translated to mean, did you long for the Geula, for redemption? Did you wait and long for Mashiach? Tzipisali Geula, did you long for Mashiach? Yeah. But Rabbi Haber said, Tzipisali Yeshua Hashem. Did you live with Amunah that Hashem is in control and truly believe Hashem is with you and you'll always come through for you? See, peace al Yeshua is not a question of did you long for and wait for what in fancy words means the eschatological era. Are you impressed?
Yes.
Eschatological means Yemos HaMashiach, the time of Mashiach. Did you sit? Did you wait? Did you long? Did you yearn? Did you contribute towards? Did you anticipate for when Mashiach will come? Which is also one of the questions, and we all should be able to answer, please God, yes. But he suggested what it means is, in our own lives, with whatever we're going through and waiting for, tzipisul Yeshuas Hashem. Did you become hopeless and helpless? Did you despair? Or tzipisul Yeshua, did you wait and long for the hand of Hashem? Wow, what a great vort. What a great Amunah email. It was an Amunah email that was an Amunah Dvar Torah. It's also a great Amunah email, and I loved it. I think it also does connect to last night and what we're going through. I saw Yocheved shared with me and posted. Honestly, it's not a chiddush. It's what we've been talking about and what we learn about and what we're trying to live, which was, we are constantly talking about, and I'd have to say, many of the emails I get revolve around this tension between ishtadlus, initiative and effort, and bitachon Amunah, faith and trust in Hashem. What happened last night is a front row, is ground zero for us to be working on that. Hishtadlus is the effort we put in advance. Hishtadlus is to campaign and advocate and lobby and contribute and to work with every fiber of our being that an unrepentant anti-Semite, anti-Israel person is not elected. That was the hishtadlus, that was the effort in advance. After the results and the come in, the conclusion of an election, Emunah and Bitachon and recognizing it's all part of Hashem's master plan, that's where Emunah comes in. That's where Emunah comes in. If a Yid last night or this morning looks at the results and feels despair and hopeless and the writing is on the wall and there's no future, that's a failure and a breakdown, I'm sorry to say, of Emunah Bitachon. Lev Malachim Biyad Hashem. The hearts of kings is in the hand of Hashem. And all that happens, it comes from Him. And none of us can predict and none of us know. We don't know what will be, and I say this with sympathy and empathy and love and care and concern for our brothers and sisters and frankly for everyone in New York. We don't know, but we also don't know what could be a positive outcome that was only precipitated, that this became a catalyst of that. Who was elected in the future, what policy passed, what things were swayed, how a tide was turned, a momentum shifted. We have no idea. So beforehand, we do a shtadlus. Beforehand, every effort with every fiber of our being to influence and impact, mold and shape our destiny and future. But when results come in, when a conclusion is reached, then we surrender and submit, we trust in Hashem. Al tivtachu b'nedivim. We don't trust princes and politicians. We have faith only and singularly in the Ribbono Shel Olam and the Almighty. I could give countless examples just of the few years, let alone my lifetime, let alone Jewish history, that we moaned and wailed and cried when we thought something was an absolute disaster, and it turned out it was part of a formula that Hashem, a plan that He had. And there were other times that we gleefully rejoiced. We thought our candidate won. We thought this was the promise of a perfect future. It turns out that person wasn't what we thought they were, and it wasn't what we cracked up to be, and it didn't go our way. So Hashem has a plan. Hashem has a plan. And will that plan mean Jewish migration? Will that plan mean some difficult days ahead? Will that plan mean some catalyst for some consequence or outcome that we can't even anticipate right now? We don't know. But what we do know is that with all the work that we do, and there's now new work to be done, I'm not saying Emunah Bitachon means become passive and complacent. There's now a whole new round of work to be done for the Jewish community, for the U.S. New York-Israel relationship. There's now a whole new round of work to be done, but it means we do it. We do it with a sense of Emunah Bitachon. How much time did we spend on learning about Hishtavus? Hishtavus is equanimity. Last night and this morning, our Hishtavus is being put to the test. Our high shouldn't be too high and our low shouldn't be too low. And our excitement or glee with what we think is a good outcome shouldn't be too great because we don't know. And our sense of frustration or disappointment or concern shouldn't be too low because we don't know that something's truly a negative outcome. The Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid, the Hishtavus of it's all the same to me that we're working on or should be working on that we learned and talked about, this is where the rubber meets the road on mornings like this, on days like this. I'm not saying that you should say, oh, this is great, it's Hashem's plan, yay! You didn't have to go blow up balloons and put streamers in your house last night or today. But what I am saying is, as we respond and reflect with concern and action, we also do it with an equanimity. Our highs aren't too high and our lows aren't too low. We do it with a sense that it's all part of Hashem's plan, and we wait to see on this adventure and this journey of Judaism what comes next. Where we go from here, what happens next. It's not easy. I don't mean to suggest when I'm saying this that this is easy. It's not easy what I'm saying. But what's the alternative? What's the alternative? It's not easy, but I do believe that this is what's demanded of us. This is what this moment calls for, and other moments like it, is to be able to bring that response. So that's part of the vort. Tzipisa Yeshua. That's part of the vort that we just got in that great email. Thank you for the email. That's Rabbi Joey Haber. Thank you, Rabbi Joey Haber. That's what Tzipisa Yeshua means. Not just that I long for some Mashiach, that I want this great future, which, by the way, is a very good question. There's a great Jewish comedian who I know since he's a child. He's hilarious, and I love him, and he's wonderful. And he did a whole bit this past summer where he was visiting bungalows in New York, and he looked around and he said, the people who live here, their worst nightmare is Mashiach coming. Like the happiness and the joy, the barbecues and charcuterie boards, the kiddushes and the tequila bar, like if Mashiach came, it's like their worst nightmare. Okay, that's his routine. I'm not judging anyone anywhere. We should ask ourselves, though, is Mashiach coming our worst nightmare or dream come true? Do we feel the hole in our heart and the absence in our lives? Do we realize that fear and fright that we were filled with this morning, is this 1930s again? My chavrusa, we learned at the Kol HaBoker early mornings, he said to me this morning, we went to elementary school together, and then we went to yeshiva together, and Baruch Hashem, we're still learning. He said to me this morning, he said, do you remember, which is true, in elementary school, we watched a movie, a film, we were shown. Did anyone see this called The Wave? Did anyone see The Wave? And The Wave was a story about how could it be that Hitler rose to power? How could the Nazis have taken over Germany, a Nazi party? How could decent people have been turned to be able to perpetrate a genocide, 6 million? And it showed how the ideas seeped in, how the election, how the polemic and the rhetoric. And in the beginning of the movie, it was an impossibility. And by the end, it was like obvious how it happened. Was anyone else haunted by The Wave? Probably shouldn't have shown a group of like middle school kids, elementary school kids. It was a different time. We were made tougher back then. So they showed us this wave. So my chavrusa said to me this morning, it's like that movie we saw in elementary school. It feels a little bit like it. Like how could it be an unrepentant, unapologetic, explicit anti-Semite, anti-Zionist, anti-Israel who ran on that platform? How could it be? Forget that he ran. How could it be that 50% of New Yorkers, including 30% of Jews who voted for him? How could it be? You didn't come this morning for my analysis, election analysis at Living with Emunah, special edition. We're not going to do an election analysis. But my point is, when he said that to me, there's like a pit in your stomach. Taka, it's like the wave. Wow. That's where Tzipisa Yeshua comes in. Do you realize that's gullus? That's gullus. Yes, we got kosher restaurants and charcuterie boards and tequila bars, and we've got all kinds of, I don't know, challah recipes and tricolored gefilte fish, and every Jewish pizza store has sushi, and we're living in remarkable and extraordinary times, and yeshivas and kollelim and women's seminaries and learning opportunities. And you know what? With all that, this is gullus. That 30% of our brothers and sisters voted for someone who wants their own demise is tragic. It's sad. I think we have to love them and fill them with light. It's what I wrote about last week. Not everybody agreed. Many disagreed vehemently. Even those who never disagree with me. Yeah, Ben, I'm talking about you. Even those, they disagree with me. And that's okay. But we have to love them. We have to love them nonetheless. But that's gullus. That's the hole in our heart. That's the Tzipisa Yeshua. But Rav Joey Haber's encouraging us, Tzipisa Yeshua is not only the collective, the big, the national, the peoplehood, the eschatological era of Mashiach. Tzipisa Yeshua means, whatever I'm going through, do I believe that however this turns out is what he wants from me, is the outcome that he believes is best. And I long for that salvation, and I know that is going to come. I want to introduce myself in such and such a place. I'm now a bachur in New York City. I became Baal Tshuva 3 years ago. The transformation has been incredible. After a year of becoming firm, I went to Israel to grow and immerse myself, which meant putting a pause on work and focusing on yeshiva. Baruch Hashem, I have incredible parents who supported me along the way, even pushed me to stay longer in Israel. After a little more than a year and a half, I decided I needed to push I needed to move back to the States and began transitioning from the amazing time I had in yeshiva to focus on parnasa and shidduchim. Over the summer, I was able to get a job working part-time for one of my friends in the tech world. Things were going great. But after a few months, all of a sudden, he told me he didn't want contractors 1099 anymore, and I was on the chopping block. Well, knowing that Hashem runs the world and this is obviously the best thing for me, or else why would it have happened, feeling that Hashem had my back was a different story. I began to feel like I was abandoned. I was confused. It took the confidence out of me dating and was really difficult. I felt I was right back where I was only a few months ago. It was really frustrating. But I knew the only thing that could pull myself out of this was to apply to as many jobs as I could. 200 plus applications later, some bit, most rejected. Of the few I was having interviews with, many of them would stop responding after a great first round. This feeling of rejection was very difficult. Even though I know people around me that have been searching for a job for a long time, been able to have a relationship with Hashem, for me, each day that went by was extremely hard. Right around Sukkot time this year, I got a final round interview of a job I was really excited about. It would be utilizing some of these new skills that I got from the summer job, as well being remote. Things were feeling like I was on the right track. Each interview that I did, I felt more and more confident Hashem had lined up the perfect job for me. After each great interview, I said Mizmor LeSoda to thank Hashem for the interview, and I felt like everything was coming together. However, just 2 hours before Shabbos, after 4 interviews and 2 weeks of patience, I got a general email telling me I didn't get the job. I never felt disappointed in Hashem like that. I was so confused and I didn't understand. I felt like I did everything that I had to and that many things were going to come together beautifully, but instead, just another dead end that made me feel yet again so lost. Baruch Hashem for my parents and community for being amazing people to lean on, be able to open up, I was struggling. The community that exists in the Orthodox world is the greatest feeling in the world. I knew that eventually things would work out, but it was hard. But I got up and kept applying. But I'll give you the ending. Baruch Hashem, I just started a new job today. I'm doing exactly what I was doing over the summer, and it's remote, which I can travel to see family and be in community back home. I'm so excited to have this job and thanking Hashem every day. Thank you for the shiurim and support, not just in Boca, but they made Emunah muscle stronger and made me a better Yid. Mazel tov on the new granddaughter. You and your whole family should only know simchas and brachas. Amen.
Amen.
So shkayach, okay, Baruch Hashem, these hard times are examples of Tzipisa Yeshua. As we go through them, as we're waiting and longing from them and during them, do we feel that? Do we feel that? One more email. When I wrote my first letter, I secretly hoped that next time I'd be in your inbox, I'd be sharing a happy ever after update, tied with a shiny ribbon and a poster of my son opening for Yishai Ribo. That is not the letter. That is not this letter. I don't know if you remember this letter. Her son, musical, going into the army. Would he give up the music career in order to serve in combat? What should he do? You remember that letter? Well, then you need to go back and listen to Living with Emunah. Instead, this is a story of exercising the Emunah muscle you so often talk about when things don't neatly fall in place. I've had this chance to watch my son, along with his fellow friends and soldiers, continue to draw strength from their faith while serving in Gaza under grueling conditions, attending the funeral of friends, enduring extended service, and in my son's case, watching his music career sit patiently in the corner. Their Emunah shines through in the smallest moments, believing they are exactly where they're meant to be, even in a combat zone for more than a year, without showers, air conditioning, reliably hot food, or visits home for 30 days or more at a time. I believe that Emunah comes from the certainty that Hashem has them right where they're meant, where He wants them to be. Back to the short story I want to share today. After having to pass up many opportunities due to his army service, there came an unexpected twist. A major reality talent show, the kind that can turn a singer into a household name, reached out and invited him to audition. They scouted him and were so excited about his coming on. They were understanding of him being in and out of Gaza and were skipping him to the third round. Imagine that. I'll admit our first thought was, wow, Hashem just sent a kiss and a hug. And honestly, it felt amazing. But opportunities are not always what they seem. After careful thought, many conversations and guidance from his Rav, he realized that as much as this would certainly help his career, it wasn't the right stage for a religious yeshiva boy to step onto. Wow. Perhaps that kiss from Hashem wasn't meant to be a doorway, but a reminder that his music continues to be enjoyed, valued, and that he hasn't been forgotten. So he said no. But we know from his shir, your shir, and the letters that you've shared, that Emunah isn't only about waiting for doors to open. Sometimes it's about choosing which ones to leave closed and believing that the right door will open when the time is right. Your Emunah shir continues to inspire him, myself, and our entire family. It's the perspective that keeps us grounded, gives meaning to every twist in the story. I hope the next update will be the one where everything finally falls into place, the ending we've been hoping for. Or maybe he'll have the opportunity to update you personally when his music tour takes him to Boca. If you're not in awe of our soldiers, look at this yeshiva boy who's been waiting, fighting in Gaza, is given his chance, and turned it down. Now you might dismiss that. Yeah, obviously you should turn that down. That's not the right place for yeshiva boy. Look at the sacrifice. Look at the Mesiras Nefesh, not only risking his life and being and fighting in Gaza, but what a story. What a story. These are our heroes. Yeshiva boys fighting on front lines, being Moser Nefesh in so many ways. Endless admiration and love and tefillah for his success in everything that he does. Two more things to quickly share and then we get back into our text. One, I was in New York last week and this was the car in front of me. This was the license plate. I had to take a picture. Psalm 113. Last week we got the guy with the jersey, Psalm 23. I don't know what message Hashem is sending me. Last week we got a guy wearing a tank top jersey, Psalm 23. That was his number. That was the team he was playing on. And this time we have a license plate, Psalm 113. If you look up Psalm 113, anyone know what it is? Hallel. So I looked it up, got me thinking. I don't know what the message was, but it was a message, a wink, a hug, a nod. It was something. The other, I met a wonderful young woman who, as she was making her way through college and graduate school, in a long line of dating and uncertainty in it, she has, you could see, it is a very crumpled up piece of paper that she sits down and puts on her desk every time she sat down to do schoolwork, every time she sat down to look at another resume or reach out to another shadchan or figure out her next stop. And this was something she typed up in large font for herself. And you could see how worn and used this paper is. And she put it down on her desk and still does each time she sits down for her schoolwork to center and ground her. And it says, "Keep going, Abigail, Hashem loves you." And it was her daily reminder through the daily grind, keep going, Hashem loves you. And now she's engaged. She just had her vort. Mitzvah Hashem, soon to be married. She'll have nachas and bracha and simcha. But also, I loved it because, again, we've got our stickers. Mine is so worn off on the back of my phone. We've got the luggage tag and the stickers and the coffee mugs, and that we're going to figure out a way to make it available to everybody and easy. Not because we make any money off of it or we want to become famous through it. Our name doesn't appear anywhere on it, but because it enhances and enriches life. I use that cup every morning, and every morning, bleary-eyed and half asleep, I would have swallowed the bracha faster than the coffee if not for the cup reminding me to caffeinate with kavan. So this is another one. Keep going. Hashem loves you. That should be the home screen of our phone and a sticker on our computer and on the steering wheel and on the mirror and everywhere to remember, even in those hard times and moments, to be patient. Hashem loves you. Every week we put out in our lobby the Here's My Story. This is put out by Chabad. Here's My Story is the testimony of somebody else who met the Rebbe's impact on their life, another story. I read it every week. I love it. I always get something from it. But particularly this week, I love the language in it. This is someone who kept going back and forth to the Rebbe, had meetings, and they were anxious about things and stressed out and had big decisions to make and didn't know what to do. And at one point, the Rebbe said to this woman, "One time when I confided in the Rebbe about some of my fears and concerns, I was always worried about everything. He told me, quote," I love this, we got to put this on something, "don't be a warrior, be a warrior." Don't be a warrior, be a warrior. Now, again, we're not talking about clinical anxiety, clinical worry that needs help, support, no judgment or shame. We're talking about the general Jewish worrying. So the Rebbe looked and he said, "Don't be a warrior, be a warrior. Channel that worry, take the energy and the time spent on worry and be a warrior." When I saw that license plate and when I met that girl, was all last week I was in New York. Last week in New York, on Thursday, you may recall, was a horrific downpour, weather, insanity in New York, coupled with the government shutdown. Every flight from LaGuardia that was going that evening was delayed or canceled. And mine kept saying on time. And I mistakenly, eschatai ani masker, I'm embarrassed and ashamed to tell you, spent a good part of the day checking, worrying, trying to manipulate and control. Should I switch to this other? Should I book the next morning just in case? How will I figure it out? Guess what? Of all the flights that night, and there were two gates next to each other in LaGuardia, both LaGuardia, JetBlue to Fort Lauderdale. One was 3:30 in the afternoon. Mine was 8:20 p.m. My 8:20 p.m., the 3:30 in the afternoon had not yet left, and our 8:20 left on time. And I looked back and felt how much energy and anxiousness, how much gigabytes of texting back and forth with Yocheved and JetBlue and Lee, did I waste and spend worrying about something that never happened? It was okay all along. Again, hishtavos. I'm not saying sometimes you shouldn't try to get on a different flight, make plans, react and respond. Of course we should, but without ever just unemotional, We should try to regulate ourselves, hishtavas, equanimity, without the channel the energy of being a worrier instead into being a warrior. And I say that about the election results too. What will be? What's going to happen? I can't believe it. This is the end. Stop it. Stop. Don't be a worrier. Go be a warrior. There are things to do, differences to make, actions to take. Channel and pivot. Stop being a worrier and start being a warrior. We're on page Kuf Chafei in Rav David Abuchatzeir's Sharei Tfila. We have a copy for everyone in attendance. If you didn't yet get yours, please feel free to come and take one. If you took one, please bring it back each week because that's what we're going to be learning from. So we're not making copies. Please bring it back each week. We're in the bottom left-hand column. And Rav David Abuchatzeir has been developing the idea. I hope you appreciate, we don't spend like 3/4 of the shiur on emails and then barely learn Torah. We try to weave in Torah throughout the emails also. Then we open the text. Okay, I said that. It just makes me feel better. I don't think any of you were really thinking that. But anyway, now I feel better. Okay, bottom left column, page Chuf Vav 125. Shari Tfila, page 125, Kuf Chaf Hei, 125, bottom of the left-hand column. La'achar shebikesh. If someone's sitting near you can't find the place, help them find it. And ladies, this is a great way to learn. My library at home is filled with books that are marked up. When you take a book from the public library, God forbid you shouldn't go anywhere near it with a pen, a marker, a highlighter. You're not allowed to touch it. And that is often a secular view of books. The Jewish view of books is wear them out. Underline and scribble and asterisk and write notes in the margins. And that is the greatest gift that you can bequeath your children and grandchildren, is that they will be trying to make sense of your little notes and your underlines and your scribbles and your highlights, and they will be blown away. They will be blown away and realize. You'll try to make sense of it. Last night I was chazaring with my son, his Gemara Baba Kama. He had his Gemara in school, so I took out one of my old Baba Kamas. I was so excited to show him. Shai, I used to once be somebody. I used to once learn too. And look, the whole Baba Kama, there's underlines and there's notes in the margins. And I was reading the notes in the margins and I have no idea what I was talking about. Yeah. I have no idea what I was alluding to or what I was saying. I don't know, because then I was immature and now I'm such a greater learner, or because then I was really learning all day and really understood it. Now I work for a living, Nebuch. I don't know which one. But I was proud and excited to show him, look at my Baba Kama. It's not pure and pristine. The binding's broken. And it's underlined all over, and the scribbles throughout. So take this and make it your own. We say in Tehillah, we're going to get into it. We say in Tehillah in the first capital, Ki Toras Hashem Cheftzo uv'Sorasso Yegei Yomam V'Layla. In the first capital, in the first chapter of Tehillah, we say, Toras Hashem, it's your Torah Hashem, but Toras Hashem Cheftzo is your desire, uv'Sorasso, and in his Torah, he delves all day long. How did it go from Toras Hashem to Torasso? It's the Torah of God to your Torah. The answer is by breaking the binding, by scribbling. Make a kinyan, acquire Torah, make it your own. Don't passively listen to some shir. You're passively listening. Take it. Let it look worn out. Break the binding. Underline, scribble, highlight a text. Show something that jumps out to you. Write the English over it. Write the English over it. You know, when I was in high school, I had a wonderful Jewish education, wonderful parents, but my learning level needed some improvement. And I went to Marsha Kollel summer. Back then we didn't have art. I'm not that old. But Art Scroll was just coming out with its different mesechtas. But we had, do you remember the red sansinos? Like in old English? Thus and yay and a priori and a fortiori and all that. I don't know, Latin, half of it was Latin. I had a sansino and it was a Gemara Rosh Hashanah. I still have this at home. It's one of my prized possessions. I sat that summer with the sansino and with the Gemara Rosh Hashanah. And I copied the English over every word, the entire Masechta Rosh Hashanah. I learned it through by copying the English over every word. Over every word. And to this day, if I'm learning a Sefer and there's a word I don't understand, I write it on top. I learned a new word, a new translation. So make this through the gift and the generosity of a dear friend and an amazing person in our community. You now all have your own copy. Make it your own. Write the words on top you don't understand. Underline a phrase that jumps out to you. Break that margin. Wear it out. And let whoever discovers it one day be impressed that you were involved in Rav David Abuchatzeir's Shari Tfila. I shouldn't say impressed, should be inspired. Inspired. La'achar shebikesh David HaMelech, Olav HaShalom, Liz Kosh, Shelo Yechzar. I have to read slower now. La'achar shebikesh David HaMelech, after King David requested Liz Kosh, Shelo Yechzar Mimeno B'chinas Hashem Ro'i. We've learned until now Hashem Ru'i, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. Not I shall not lack because he's my shepherd, but let me never lack knowing he's my shepherd. Let me always and forever know he's my shepherd. Bikesh, so after King David, after David HaMelech said, God, let me always feel your presence in my life. Let me never suffer or struggle with feeling you're not there. He continues, Bikesh Od, he requested further, Gam ki elech begeitz ha-maves, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, lo ira ra, I fear no evil. Gam be'ez tzara she'en rachamei Hashem niglim la'ayin, even when I'm going through a crisis, even the Jewish people are going through a hard time where the kindness and compassion of Hashem are not revealed to the eye. Gam kein, lo ira ra. Even in those moments, I will fear no evil. I don't care who gets elected where. I don't care what the lab results show. I don't care what's happened, what the Shadchan said. I don't care what they got back to me about the job interview. Even when I'm walking, I don't care going in and out of Gaza. Even when I'm walking through Gay Tzalmaves, lo ira ra. Lo ira ra. Even when I can't see you visibly, even when it's not obvious, even when you're not revealed and explicit, but I still fear no evil because I know you're there. How many hostages found God in tunnels, in captivity? Stories that are still coming out are mind-blowing. If you haven't read Elisha Rabi's Hostage, what he talks about, the faith he found down there, how many put on tefillin, talis, took a lulav, sat in a sukkah, made a bracha. It's unbelievable. Not all, and not all everything, but the faith that they found begates al mavas in the valley of the shadow of death, even when Hashem was not visible or revealed or obvious, lo ira ra. V'hosiv l'vakesh, and then David HaMelech continues and asks, ach tov v'chesed yirdefuni. May goodness and kindness pursue me. She yirdefeyu chesed. Hein chesed nigla, hein chesed nister. May loving kindness chase after me, whether it's revealed loving kindness or hidden loving kindness. Hein tov shu chesed b'mispar katan, whether it's a chesed in small quantity, hein chesed nigla, or revealed chesed, v'koach ha'emuna nizka she'isapech ha'tov l'chesed. And through the power of faith, let us merit to transform good to kindness, v'izgalu aleinu rachamav yizbarach bishleimus. So David HaMelech, he's breaking down, Rav David Buchatzer, he's breaking down Kapitel Chaf Gimel, Psalm 23. First it starts, Hashem Ru'i, God, you're my shepherd. And I don't just want to talk about you, I want to know the shepherd. I want to feel the shepherd. I want to talk to the shepherd. I want to hear the shepherd talking to me. And lo echsar, may I never stop feeling you're my shepherd. And when I can achieve that, when your guiding hand is always on my shoulder, when I live life with your embrace, when I see you everywhere, then even gam ki elach begeitz ha-maves, even when I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, lo ira ra. Even though it's not obvious and it's not easy to see you, but I won't fear evil because why? Lo echsar, I'll never be lacking in knowing you're my shepherd. And then ach tov v'chesed yirdefuni. Ach tov v'chesed yirdefuni. When I was 21 in yeshiva and trying to decide whether I should start dating or not, I was at a wedding. There was a makubal from Eretz Yisrael. It's okay to tell this story? It's a fine story. What's the problem with the story? There was a makubal. I was talking to a Rebbe of mine at the wedding. Should I start dating, not start dating? And there was a makubal in from Eretz Yisrael, not Reb Scheinberg, but Reb Scheinberger. It was a makubal from Eretz Yisrael. And my Rebbe, who had a relationship with him, said, ask him. I remember we were walking in the wedding hall, and he turned and he said to me, how old are you? I said, 21. He said, ach. Ach is 21. And state in Pasuk, it says in the Pasuk, ach tov v'chesed, matza isha matza tov. So 21, you should start dating. And you'll get married. Baruch Hashem. Anyway, that had nothing to do with anything. But the pasuk, ach tov v'chesed. Ach tov v'chesed. Ach, ach, just, may only just good and kindness pursue me. But he, the numerical value of ach is 21. And tov, the pasuk says, matza isha matza tov. If you get married and you have a good marriage, then you found goodness. So he, ach, he was saying, oh, you're 21. The numerical value of ach is 21. Ach tov, matzah isha matzah tov. You should get married. Okay, I don't think I got married till 22. But 21, I started. Did we get engaged? I find you at 21? I found you at 21. Baruch Hashem. It's all him. It's all. We gave a skula 2 nights ago. If you're dating, or someone you know is dating, or someone you love is dating, I didn't know the skula. But in Siddur Snippets 2 nights ago, listen to Siddur Snippets from 2 nights ago, and we shared what Rebbetzin Batsheva Kanievsky credited marrying off all her children, what her father Rav Yashiv did that he said got her married, what 20 Bachram and Chevron who were older all did when they learned, and within 2 months all got engaged. By the way, I don't believe in skulas. But what they all did, anyway, 2 nights ago, Siddur Snippet, I started doing it for the people I know and love who I want to help get married. So I'm not telling you what it is because I want you to have to find this Siddur Snippet. I'm not telling you. You got to do your own homework. I'm not serving this on a silver spoon to you. You got to do your own work. Two nights ago. Anyway, Ach Tov Chesed. So David HaMelech starts. May I never be lacking in feeling that Hashem is my shepherd. And because of that, even when I'm in the shadow of death, and you can't see him visibly, may I over know he's with me. And let kindness and goodness always pursue me so that I can see revealed and hidden. When doors close and doors open, when I close doors and other doors open, let me see the goodness, the kindness, the love of Hashem. And with this we can explain, says Rav David Uchatzeira, the next pasuk. Hareinu Hashem Chazdecha. Another pasuk in Tehillim, chapter 85. Show us, Hashem, your loving kindness. Hashem, we don't want it to be a mystery. And we don't want your kindness to come through some twists and turns. You elected that guy, but it turned out to be great for that reason, and this thing happened for that. No, just show me the kindness that I can see explicitly the kindness. Chesed nigla. Let us see revealed kindness. And we say this every morning. The gamleini chasadim tovim. Tzorach beyur, gamleini, gamal, which is a topic for another time. But what do we call it? Gemilos chasadim. We're almost up to this. In the Parshios, we'll read about Rivka feeding the camels. She was the paradigm of chesed. We talk about do camel chesed. Why do we call chesed camel chesed? Gemilos chasadim comes from the root word gamal, which is a camel. What's camel chesed? How is it different than donkey chesed and horse chesed? And cat chesed, and hamster chesed, and iguana chesed. Why camel chesed? The gamleini chasadim tovim. The yechiyish chasadim tovim, chasadim she'enim tovim. Why do we ask Hashem to do chasadim tovim? Do good loving kindness. Is there good loving kindness and bad loving kindness? Is there good chesed and bad chesed? V'lama tzarech lefarad hakavan lechasadim tovim. Ela kamoshin is ba'er. Chasadim tovim means Hashem, act with me with chesed. Kindness, compassion, mercy, sensitivity, sympathy, love. And do it tovim, do it in a way that's revealed, that I can see, that I don't have to wonder and wait. All that he does is by definition chesed. But do a chesed in such a way that I can see it, identify it, understand it right away, and I don't have to wait to figure it out. V'idia brura karsa chesed. V'lo nitztarech la'amin kiu chesed. Not in a way that I have to wait and wonder. Like so many emails I get, I read some this morning, and there's so many more, many of them revolving around shiduchim, about I wait and I wonder and I long and I don't know when and I don't know where you are. This week I wrote my article, I put it in the WhatsApp group about the letter exchange that I share with you before Yom Kippur. I can't tell you the unbelievable reaction I've had from others who feel that way and are so grateful for license to feel that way at times and to use it to come closer, not to go further away, to use it to draw closer. But there are people who are in that position where they're looking and they're wondering where and how come and why am I going through this and why am I still waiting? And that's a chesed. Because by definition, everything he does is chesed. But it's not chasadim tovim. Because it ain't tov to be waiting and wondering and looking, and it's not tovim. So what we ask for specifically is chasadim tovim. Hashem, don't make me go through many job interviews and rejections and wondering if and when. Let me see right away why everything is good. Let it not be a mystery. Let it be revealed. That's the taich, that's the explanation of chasadim tovim, that I don't need lahamin ki hu chesed. I don't want to have to believe and have faith that somehow this waiting, this episode, this crisis is also chesed. Let me do it in a way that's revealed. Oh, good. It's not mine, like the Rebbe. Another Rebbe, reference to the Rebbe of the day. Yecheved's reminding me, I like to say, on Rosh Hashanah, I'm giving you a Dvar Torah for next Rosh Hashanah. Mm. Mark it down. We wish one another a Shana Tova Umesuka. You should have a good and sweet new year. Why don't we just say, have a good year? If it's good, it's sweet. Why don't we just say, wish everyone a Shana Tova? So the Bavitch Rebbe Zatzal said, Shana Tova, by definition, it's Tova. Komanda Ovid Rachmana Latav Ovid. The Gemara tells us, all that God does is by definition good. But good can also be painful. Good could be pleasurable or painful. Good could be enjoyable or it can hurt. Good, you can see the good or you could wonder and wait. So we ask not only that it be good, which it is by definition, but it be good and sweet. A Shana Tova, that's also Masuka. That is beautiful. That's exactly what Chasadim Tovim. Let it be Chesed. Let the Chesed pursue me and chase me. But the kind of Chesed that I can see and that's accessible and available and that's exposed, not one that I need a leap of faith in. V'chein Yisa be'imre Noam. And the Imre Noam also says this. V'nevi'o b'lashono, and I'll bring it, says Rav David Buchatzera, in his language. We're in the bottom paragraph on the right-hand column, Kuf Chav Vav. Did you underline anything yet? Jump out at you, write the English. Let's go. Break this binding. Wear it out. Perashti b'tfilas Rabbi Nechunya. Ana b'koach gedulas yemincha tatir tzerura. You recognize that? It's familiar? When do we say it?
Every morning.
Ana b'koach. Some say it every morning. Some say it on Friday night before Lechadodi. Some sing it. Miami Boys Choir? Ana b'koach. We'll put it in the group. We'd like to... One of our missions is to understand the songs that we sing. It transforms it. Instead of just singing words, if you understand it. Chevet, Ana b'koach, Miami Boys Choir. Hainu, so what does it mean? Ana b'koach, gedulas yemincha. Ki ksiv mi pi elyon lo seitzei haroz. V'chol dinam ein maleim chasadim mekorim p'nimi yusam. Rak bizgalas la'inei basa nira ki ilohim dinam chas v'shalom. Okay, maybe we'll start with this next time. But Ana b'koach is referring to, in this world there's justice. God interacts with us sometimes in a way that feels harsh and strict justice. And there's loving kindness, there's chesed. In the world of Jewish mysticism, in Kabbalah, the right side is always chesed, the left side is always din. That's why we always show preference, precedence of the right over the left. The right over the left. Whether it's how you hold the lulav and esrog, unless you're left-handed, put the tefillin, there's all kinds of the right. We always show priority, preference to the right over the left, because the right is chesed, the left is din. Chasidim button their shirt, their clothing buttons right over left. Not only chasidim, the biggest litvak puts on his kittel on Yom Kippur and buttons it right over left. Not because it's women's clothing, but because chesed over din. The right hand over the left hand while you daven. Chesed over din. Physically, the spheros, chesed, din. It's a lot, it's complicated, we'll pick up with it next time. It's the theme of Ana B'Koach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you interact with us in so many ways. We daven and we ask that you interact with us in a way we see, we perceive, we know, we feel that it's all din. Mitzvah Hashem will pick up from here. Now, questions and answers. I sent out, you can direct message me if you don't want to raise your hand and offer it here. You could also submit it on our anonymous question system. If you have an anonymous question, a topic on anything for those listening online, we'll find you again next week. Be happy, stay healthy, stay holy. And we open the floor to questions.